things on the line, and he's fucking dropping.
Tell them how you really feel. Hello again, and I am Jeremy Maddox, and I am not a clear and present danger to myself or others. And it's been about 2 weeks since I read anyone the Riot Act, reason for that being that I was letting the words settle a little bit. And also I had various family members in the hospital, my place of work was robbed at gunpoint, want to guess what the suspect looked like, and I may have been hacked. Out of all these things, they're the things I'm least angry about. First up, there's a new animated comedy called Big Mouth, centered on a teenage girl and her magical talking vagina. Now, the idea itself feels DOA, dated on arrival. It reminds me of something we'd see from late 90s Troma. My first instinct is to get mad, and I mean the nuclear option level of anger. I mean, I could spend the next several minutes decreeing how they're sexualizing kids, because they are, pointing to old Salon articles where a self-declared pedophile has the unmitigated gall to actually defend himself and say he's not a monster. I could point to how audacious sexual education in public schools have become, teaching kids sexually deviant behaviors such as oral sex with a cucumber as a model. But I've tried to take this cartoon at face value, and I wanted to examine the showrunners for any red flags of character. There's four of them together. First, the married couple of Mark Levin and Jennifer Flackett, with writing credits of The Wonder Years, Earth 2, and Beverly Hills 90210 between them. Two of those shows were actually quality entertainment, and I'll leave it to you to decide which two. The third is Andrew Goldberg of Family Guy, which actually makes me considerably calmer about this project. I mean, I am a staunch defender of raunchy humor and shock value. Now, the only one that gives me pause is Nick Kroll, who you'll recognize from supporting roles in Sausage Party, Dinner for Schmucks, and Get Him to the Greek. All these hipster comedies that just worship at the altar of marijuana and much sex. I don't even like his press photo, to be honest. He just comes across as... I've met types like this Nick Kroll that look like this guy. They like giggle like schoolgirls when they're drunk. They get DUIs. They have suspicious, shall we say, incidents with women. He just looks like the type that would be charged with a DUI, reckless endangerment, or domestic abuse. The guy just looks sleazy, and judging from the quality, or lack thereof, of his body of work, seems like he's the weak link in this four-link chain of people behind this new show, Big Mouth. The other three, as I said, they pass the test of quality, at least. You know, when you look at that body of work with The Wonder Years, Earth 2, and Family Guy, which, like I said, is known for its raunchy humor and just tasteless all around, you know, offensive commentary on everyone and everything, take no prisoners attitude. We do need more of that. And so maybe the line to be drawn with these kinds of subjects is it's okay as long as it makes somebody laugh. And you're not trying to convince them that this is actually acceptable social behavior, like the faggot from the Salon article last year. The crib robber, who said he was not a monster, had the audacity to say he was not a monster, while admitting to these urges, just because he had not caved to them yet. He somehow deserved some sort of benefit of the doubt. No, scumbag, you go on forever in shame. Sorry. You know, like I said, I could get worked up about this show. I don't know what kind of value a girl with a talking vagina can bring to the table other than, you know, this era being this era's Beavis and Butthead for teens to laugh at the crude vulgarity of it all. And that's fine. You know, you need that kind of rebellion and, you know, tasteless button pushing, envelope pushing. This isn't the first time that this kind of subject matter has been toyed with. Let's think back to MTV Skins, where they actually took a documentarian approach to filming real-life kids in adult situations, and of course, lawyers tore them apart on this, and the press picked up the bits that were left. They cleaned that carcass totally until it was just bones. MTV Skins, more like MTV Bones. That is where the line would be drawn, I would think. When you have the first episode, the guy's trying to is being made fun of because he's a virgin by his supposedly best friend, and he makes his virgin friend go with him to buy pot from a Chinese guy named Mad Mao. I mean, boy, these guys are really picking up the slack where the last generation left off, right? I mean, my God. Virgin shaming, nicknaming yourself Mad Mao, drug trafficking, and by the end of the show, one of the other friends has overdosed on pills, which is probably a recurring theme, a leitmotif throughout the entire season. I wouldn't know because I didn't watch the shit, but I'm just guessing. And by the end of the show, oh, the guy's still a virgin because the chick overdosed on pills. And, well, that's pathetic, his best friend tells him. Virgin shaming. That's way worse than slut shaming in my book. Why would you want to judge somebody because they have not experienced something that's really not all that it's cracked up to be anyway? Yeah, I know. I read my emails. I've got, not literally, but figuratively, 5,000 emails from the Mom's Basement Brigade. The Mom's Basement Brigade telling me that, oh, you're a virgin, you don't know what a vagina feels like. I do, and I do know what it feels like, and I also know when I'm dating a lazy, inconsiderate, dirty fucking slag and promptly dispose of her. Now, woo! I'm getting lit up here. The thing is that sex has never been that fulfilling for me, and I guess I had it with the wrong people in the wrong ways. I don't know. But I get all these little emails from the people who say that I'll never get out of Mom's Basement. Let's get one thing straight right now, faggots and cunts. It's not Mom's Basement, it's my basement. I pay for that basement, okay? So shut your fucking cocksuckers. While we're speaking of cocksuckers, I want to talk about this growing problem. Now that the Charlottesville incident has metastasized in the media, and also more people have become aware of just how one-dimensional and flaccid the reporting on that event what really was. You know, where they were just plastering up the word Nazi, Nazi, Nazi over and over in every direction with no regard for the fact that Wes Bellamy and Terry McAuliffe told the police to stand down, and that was confirmed by the ACLU. These people had the federal permit to protest, and these counter-protesters did not, okay? But these people were forced to walk the gauntlet through Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and people had bones broken in their faces. People who were not there brandishing any kind of Europa flag or Nazi swastika flag or Klansman attire. There were people there that were honest patriots who were protesting the removal of the General Lee statue. They were there for the right reasons, the expressly stated reasons, and they were forced to walk the gauntlet through these animals like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who really do deserve every bit of every consequence of the civil asset forfeiture that was recently signed into law last year. They deserve every bit of it. I hope they get it. I understand that that thousands of IP addresses were logged on the Antifa site a while back, and I hope that every one of them has their houses raided. I hope that there's a big ruckus caused in their lives for all the ruckus that they have raised in everyday American life. There's not a shred of patriotism among one of them. They want to radically transform America into something it's not. They want to pervert it, subvert it, invert it. They want to weaponize and homosexualize and transfigure the whole American construction into some Picasso painting with Stalin statues on every corner. Man, I'm really channeling the spirit of Alex Jones now. All that's missing are pot-bellied goblins. Sorry, I just coughed up one. Now that we have the so-called optics on what really transpired and how Terry McAuliffe and Wes Bellamy told the press that no one went to the hospital following Charlottesville, which is absolutely bullshit because, as I've named in past episodes, Deirdre Harris, a victim in the parking lot brawl who was not on our side, but still, he got the shit knocked out of him for sure, and he's feeling it still today, I'm sure. Then there was Jason Bomber, who had bones broken in his face. They went after him with bricks. I think a brick upside the head. He's going to need a lot of facial reconstruction, I would think. It did not look comfortable at all what happened to him. And then you have Baked Alaska, who is still recovering his eyesight from being maced right in the face, and they're not even sure if it was bear mace or some compound acid or something. I don't know. And the governor has the nerve to say that no one went to the hospital? This is not about Heather Heyer. I understand that she had people who loved her, and it is sad, but she shouldn't have been playing in traffic. You don't stand in front of a moving vehicle driven by someone who's afraid for their life because they were attacking the car. Make no mistake about it. If you have the gall to make a martyr of Heather Heyer, then fuck you. All you people who try to frame the Unite the Right rally as something it wasn't, you deserve a black eye. Man or woman. I'd like to take this time to remind you that I'm not a danger to myself or others, other than my mouth. Now, as I've tried to get to the past few minutes, I can finally get this out. Now that that has all been addressed and more people have woken up to the counter-narrative, to the mainstream bullshit, you know, the mainstream news is very lazy. They go with the most sensationalized, easily explained tripe. So they miss a lot of the facts in reporting this stuff. But now that we've addressed this and the government incompetence on display that day, as well as Antifa and Black Lives Matter behaving as rabid animals that they are, we can address the other problem from that day, finally. I'm disavowing now. I'm disavowing. It's embarrassing how many conservatives were becoming McCarthyists in the days following Unite the Right. Like, okay, I disavow Nazis, man. I'm just don't lump me in with those guys, you know? It doesn't matter. The left is so insane now that they will lump you in no matter how much you disavow. But this is a problem that does need to be addressed because, yeah, there were people there. No mistake about it. There were people there creating bad optics, which is like the new hip phrase to say, just like narrative was cool to say for a while. from everybody's saying bad optics. The people creating the bad optics the night before Unite the Right, with the tiki torches and the Nazi flags and chanting blood and soil. Now, again, I'd like to remind you that not everyone there in that crowd of 500 people the next day were Nazis. In fact, forget Nazis, because Nazis were taken care of in World War II. Every time you call these people Nazis, you do a great disservice to the people who stormed the beaches of Normandy. These are pseudo-Nazis. They're not even neo-Nazis, like from the 80s punk scene that was totally irrelevant to any kind of construct of reality. These are pseudo-Nazis. They're 4chaners who joked about gassing the kikes, so, you know, quote-unquote, to such an extreme degree over and over and over that they eventually came to believe it. And yes, that is wrong. I call them pseudo-Nazis. And there's a growing number of podcasts out there framing this debate as a Jew-centric one. The Jews are behind everything, man. You know, all globalism is by Jews. That's their argument. These podcasts would be the Alk Right, which Alk is abbreviated for alcohol, Right to Brighton, This Hour Has 88 Minutes, Stormfront Daily, David Duke Show, Orthodox Nationalist, Radio Werewolf, The War Room, probably the most interesting one of the bunch, The Fatherland, probably the most mild of the bunch, This Week in White Genocide, The Europa Weekly, The Daily Shoah, Radio Free Northwest, Exodus Americanus, and The Pause Button, and Fash the Nation. These people even have their own musical movement called Fash Wave, which is like New Wave, only with, I guess, National Socialist themes. Now again, as I said to Awilai when she came on several weeks ago in the days following Unite the Right and the turmoil there, I told her I don't think I know that National Socialism is not the answer to any of America's problems, and it has nothing to do with America. That's the strangest part about this whole subculture cropping up. How many of these people actually believe it? How many people actually always believed it? And how many people kept joking about it on 4chan with memes until they came to believe it? And how many are just full of shit and they're still trolling to this day? They're just being ironic, you know, with their Hitler haircuts, and they're joking about beating their girlfriends on live stream webcams and everything. I don't know. I'm open to having any representatives from any of these shows that I mentioned on the air to explain to me why they think National Socialism is the answer to any of our problems. I don't think that in this lifetime that you could ever formulate an argument that would, you know, win me over, convince me. But, you know, I do have some audio to fill. You know, I have some blank audio to fill, and I need to fill it up with something. And I always love to explore different ideas, and the fact that they're generated from the right and not the left makes me even more eager to entertain the idea of talking to any of these people. In the event that that the mention of these shows and my critique of them gets back to them, you know, reach out to me. I'm not hard to find. Sickfix, that's 2 X's, at gmail.com. And let me know if you'd be interested in walking me through this. I'm not a debater by any stretch of the imagination. I don't believe that debating is something that is inherent to living your life. A lot of people do nowadays. I don't know why, and I rant about that a lot too. There are no rules to arguing. There aren't. I grew up in an environment where, you know, arguments were constant and they were very chaotic. You know, there's no rules to arguing. You know, people will change their modes of thought. They will change their language in order to zip by a suggestion or an accusation. And so I don't know where you people, what planet do you come from where everyone, you know, should have, you know, served time on the debate team. And there are rules to arguing. I'll never understand it. Telling me how to formulate my argument, telling me how I should pose questions. I don't understand it, and I never will. Get out of the classroom paradigm. But I would love to have a discussion with any of you folks out there in the far alt-right. You know, there's a difference, you know, obviously, with these people being the, I guess, the actual alt-right. And then there's the milder ones who have been dubbed the alt-light, merely by association of despising communism and socialism, communism, I guess, and being, you know, conservative conservatives, not like edgy conservatives. And that would be Cernovich, Alex Jones, Jack Posobiec, Lauren Southern, L.A. Werewolf Entertainment, or Frank Espinoza, who's been a guest on here as well. I guess these would be the alt-light. Lauren Loomer. I guess Baked Alaska. Steven Crowder. These would be the alt-light. If I understand where things are at all, then that's how it is. So no, you will never hear me praising the idea of National Socialism. However, they do have a right to their free speech. Whether it's a cliche or not, it's the truth. Even those people in Antifa and Black Lives Matter who I despise have a right to free speech. But when you cross the line into violence, actual physical violence, when you're swinging bats and bricks and sticks and stones and flinging your own feces like a monkey onto people, then, you know, you've crossed the line to where it's no longer free speech. Now, again, the driver at Unite the Right, he was in fear for his life. Okay, his car was surrounded, and there were people standing in front of him. So, I think he should... Maybe there's a case for manslaughter, but like second-degree murder or something like that? No, I don't think so. But regardless, I'm sure he's going away for a long time, possibly life. And I'd like to extend my condolences to his mother, who has most likely very few people on her side thinking about what she's lost. You know, everyone wants to make a martyr out of Heather Heyer. The truth is, she was stirring up. She had just as much culpability as those extremists chanting blood and soil. Now, about free speech. I understand that several podcasts from Project Entertainment have been removed from iTunes, including Buttercup of Doom, which I'm not really a fan of, The Horror Show with Brian Keene, which I'm, if you listen to early shows here with me, you know that I've had my schism with Brian Keene, but, you know, he didn't deserve to lose a platform. But in response to my concern, you know, as a fellow creative individual, he has stated that this is temporary and can be fixed, and it's not really necessary to politicize it. Now, I'm sure that he knows better than I do, but it's strange in that they seem to target so many Project Entertainment podcasts. And over what? I'm not sure. Probably an algorithm, but Keene originally thought that it had something to do with him having the word penis in the title description. in the show description. Can you believe that? A grown man in trouble for using a bad word. Make him stand in the corner until the end of class. Unbelievable, man. And this is only going to get worse. The more power we allow corporations and machines to consolidate. I'm serious, guys. There are people right now drawing up plans for electronic personhood, where if you harm a sentient machine, say 50 years in the future, then it will be as if you harmed a living person. This is real. This is, we have turned the corner and gone straight into, we've sailed straight past the science fiction paradigm, and we are quickly approaching dystopia. I promise you.
The paradigm of absolute control. And that's why we're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the new world order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murderous scum. They're on giant death factories keeping babies alive. You're selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video.
Hillary's in the creepy weird six stuff, man. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weird woman whose mother wears a hood over her head.
What the hell?
That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
Literal vampire pot, then the goblins are hobbling round coming after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go.
We're such self-centered crap. We don't even notice and it's self rising up against us. Millions of pointed people of the very worst type. Gonna stab your daughter at the mall.
Oh, oh, oh.
We're gonna stab your wife, your son.
Ooh.
We're gonna stab you with a butcher knife. And then the police chief is gonna say, we love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet.
I was watching Fox News as I worked out this morning.
Wasn't that nice? Subscribe to Super Deluxe for more.